This is Christy Gubser reporting from the Lions Folks Festival for KVNF, and I'm here with David Wax from David Wax Museum. Thanks so much for agreeing to my interview, David.
Oh, yeah, of course. My pleasure.
So can you tell us a little bit about your musical style? I've read that you got a lot of influences from Mexico and your travels. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure thing. I grew up in central Missouri, and so kind of grew up on, you know, Americana, alt country, going to see the early days of Wilco and Sunvolt. But I found myself living down in Mexico in college. I started spending my summers in Mexico, and I was living in these rural communities doing volunteer work and living with musicians that played this style called Son Huasteco, or Huapango music. And it was love at first listen. I just kind of got swept away by this music and all things with it, in terms of just it being a way into the culture and the history. And so I kept finding myself down in Mexico every summer, and then after college and started studying the music more in earnest and started writing songs. Or I guess I say my own songwriting started changing as I was learning this music, and I started incorporating the instruments and the song structures and lyrical ideas and hooks and kind of marrying these two different loves of American folk music and Mexican folk music.
When you first went down to Mexico, was it with the intent to study music, or did you have something else that was the main goal?
The music was not the focus at all at first. I was just, I'd found out about a cool volunteer program where I could live in a rural village and kind of do rural development projects, and at the time that was what I was interested in, and it seemed like a great way to get to be in a community and be part of it and working on a project together with people. So that was what the kind of idea of doing a service project was what excited me about getting down there, not just as a tourist.
What was the program actually? Now I'm extra curious.
Yeah, sure. It's run by a Mexican NGO called SEDEPAC, which stands for Service Development and Peace. And they partner up with the American Friends Service Committee, AFSC, a Quaker organization based in Philly. And so they bring 50, youth from Europe, Mexico, and the States together, and then you live with 10 youth volunteers, and they put you in a rural indigenous village, working on kind of appropriate technology projects and gardening projects. And
so was your original goal kind of more in the development arena and then it moved to music, or did you study music in college as well?
I always played music as a kid. I mean, I was in bands and writing songs since I was 13, so I've been doing it for over 20 years. But I think I dismissed it as a career path because I was too practical of a person. And so I think that it was one of those things where I just kind of said, all right, that just doesn't make any sense to do that. I'm not a great singer. I'm not a great guitarist. I can write songs, but I have other more worthwhile ways to use my talents or whatever. But I just kept finding myself back in the music world and kind of kept being drawn back to it. So at some point I just stopped fighting it. And then it all, different threads came together. I mean, it's a lot of things that excited me about, being in these rural villages and seeing kind of the role that music played in these communities, or seeing like what are you trying to preserve and what makes life worth living, and like why are you motivated to do some kind of service development project, or it tied back to a lot of things about like cultural integrity and the things that we do to find meaning in life. And so it kind of like the threads all came together in my mind, and I ended up studying Latin American history and literature in college, and taking a lot of poetry classes, studying a lot of Spanish, and it felt like it's kind of the band and the music and the songwriting have kind of felt like a pretty cohesive way of bringing those interests together.
That's wonderful. Do you get back there now that you have 5 albums under your belt and share the music with these guys or those guys, or how's that working?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I try to. I mean, we try to go back every year. We haven't gone back like with our full band touring, but Susan and I will do little things, just the two of us. And I'll reconnect with friends and musicians there and my teachers. And we try to do a lot of stuff with the Latino community in the States. And I feel like there is a segment of our audience that's Chicano that know where this music comes from and relate to it on that level, but are also people that either were born here or their kids were born here. And so I feel like the music speaks to them on a particular level. And so that's really powerful for us too. And we love playing for that audience.
Suze Slezak, who's not here with us today, is your partner in crime in many ways. And how did her coming on to the band or coming on with you change the musical style?
In a lot of different dramatic ways. I mean, I think that for me, I always had this idea of the kind of paragon of, like, the paradigm for singing was like Graham Parsons and Amy Lou Harris. And so I think when we started singing together and it felt like we were kind of tapping into the same thing that inspired me about that way of singing of a male and female voice together, like I felt like, all right, this is a real source of inspiration for the writing, I think, to kind of know that you have someone that has a voice like that that's going to lock in with you, and then that together you create a different voice together. And Sue's brought a lot of, I mean, she grew up in like a real old-time music community, so she brought and studied Irish fiddle music, and you know, so she brought a real tradition of American roots music, and where my was more of like an invented tradition of being a kid in Missouri, where there was none of that really going on, but you kind of had to make it up. But she actually had the real deal. So, and now as partners and collaborators and band leaders, I mean, she's kind of the first pass through in terms of all my songwriting goes through her, and she kind of edits everything and directs. I just write a lot, kind of push it all out, and then she kind of decides what's worthwhile to pursue. Speaking of which, here she is.
All right, Suze Slezak came back to join us. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure. What an incredible spot.
Excellent. We were actually just talking about how you influenced David's sort of more Mexican style with more of an Irish style, and he was talking about old-timey. Can you talk about what you've brought to the band?
Yeah, I grew up in a pretty musical family. We were homeschooled, and practicing our instruments was kind of a big focus of our day. And so we sang all the time, and I grew up starting as a really young kid playing piano and violin, and grew up in an old-time community outside Charlottesville, Virginia, so playing fiddle music and having music be a part of everyday life and of community celebrations was the norm. Going to kind of outdoor camping festivals was part of my childhood as well. So it was surprising to me that I ended up actually being a musician as an adult, but it also feels really natural. And when I met David, I had I'd been to Mexico once, but had never really been exposed to the music in a serious way. So I was playing fiddle and singing with him at the beginning, and he said, "Oh, I really think you should learn one of the Mexican instruments. How about the donkey jawbone?" And so we found one, and I started playing that now 9 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I read about your donkey jawbone piece of percussion. And did you actually get a chance to see that being made, or know much about where the roots of your actual particular instrument come from?
Well, it was made by the creator inside in the mouth of a donkey.
That's
so it's so it's literally the lower half of the jaw of a donkey. It's right over there, actually. I've never been to it comes with a little tag that says made in Peru. So I don't know if there's some guy down there that knows that if your donkey's old, come to him and he'll, you know, give you however much money he'll give you for it and send it to America to provide instruments for musicians, though people, you know, play them all throughout Latin America too.
Oh, you're broken, tell that ass. You're broken, tell that ass. You're broken, tell that ass. I get too near, I get too near. Oh, diamonds counterclockwise, diamonds counterclockwise, diamonds counterclockwise. You review mirror and your review mirror. Yes, Marie, yes. No, Marie, no. Your careless heart invites me in just to see me go. Yes, Marie, yes. No, Marie, no. Your careless heart invites me in just to see me go. Thank you.
kitchen. Invite me into your kitchen. Invite me into your kitchen. For we love fortune of a dillo. I talk, 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 you don't listen. I talk, 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 you don't listen. I talk, 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 you don't listen. You've had your fill, you've had your fill. Oh yes, Marie, yes. No, Marie, no. Your careless heart invites me in just to see me go. Yes, Marie, yes. No, Marie, no. Your careless heart invites me in just to see me go. Love's as light as froth. You skim the top, you skim the top. Just an afternoon's afterthought. An afternoon's afterthought. An afternoon's afterthought. All you can feel are its aftershocks. Oh yes, Marie, yes. No, Marie, no. Your careless heart invites me in just to see me go. Yes, Marie, yes. No, Marie, no. Your careless heart invites me in just to see me go.
That was Yes, Maria, Yes from David Wax Museum. KVNF's Christy Gubser talked to David and Suze, who make up that band, at this year's Rocky Mountain Folks Festival in Lyons. Now you guys have a daughter together, so you're creating a family, and you wrote that everything changes when two becomes three. Can you guys talk about how it's changed for you as musicians now being parents, Suze or David?
Sure. This is a rare exception that we're out here without our daughter. She's at home with grandmother this weekend, and we'll see her tomorrow, but she almost always comes on the road with us. And
how old is she?
She's 2.5 now. And so it's, we feel very lucky because we are able to do it as a family and be together and, you know, I think that sometimes it's like you can enter into this musician life and this tour life and it's really removed from everything else you do. And I think it's hard when people go back home, then it's like there's a disjunction between their work life and their family life. And for us, it's all a messy runs into, you know, everything overlaps and in a beautiful way, in a messy way. And, you know, I think that it's exciting for us to kind of get to share this life with our daughter and feel like, yeah, this is our life and we're building a community for her and for ourselves. And that's what having a life in music is. And, you know, it's a lot more exhausting and, sleep is harder to come by, but the joys of it and kind of, you know, visiting extended family and kind of slowing down to a different kind of pace and kind of taking, you know, biting off a lot less, I think makes it more sustainable and more something that we can kind of keep doing as a family, hopefully.
When she comes along on tour with you guys, do you bring grandma with you or who comes?
My dad came along for the first couple years and was an amazing road nanny. He renamed himself Nano, so that's now his grandparent name. But we've started just hiring younger folks, you know, somebody in their 20s who's between jobs or relationships or places to be, and that's been a really wonderful thing because so many people are up for an adventure for 2 or 3 weeks of a tour, and that's been really fun to have kind of a fresh person come along and help with her, because since Dave and I both perform, we always have to have someone else with us during first sound check in the performance.
And how was going from being a sort of single musician out there to being a mom for you, Suze?
For me, I never had the dream of becoming a musician. That wasn't kind of the thing that I was working towards. It's just this amazing thing that has come to pass and something I still can't quite believe. But kind of being a mom and having my work and family life connected has always been really important to me. So it feels like a fulfillment of that dream. I never wanted to have a work box and a family box. And now that I'm in it, I think to myself, oh gosh, it does sound nice to just like drop your kid off, go work and focus on that. I have this kind of amazing experience of now she's stopped nursing now, but when she was younger, I would lie down in the back of our van where we built this little bed and kind of be this in this cozy, dark womb nursing my baby. And David would tap on the window and say, all right, Suze, we've got 4 minutes till showtime. And so she just fell asleep. I'd sort of like extricate myself, jump to the front of the van, pull on my dress, put on my high heels, slap some makeup on, throw my hair up, and dash on stage. And that, I mean, it was like this incredible rebirth or like cocoon into butterfly moment that I would get every night, which was such a rush.
Excellent. And then I have a question about your guys' band name. So obviously David Wax comes from your name. And why did you choose the word museum? Do you guys like wax museums? Or what's the reason behind the rest of the name?
We don't like wax museums at all.
I've never been to a wax museum. I don't know what it's like.
They're kind of creepy, to be honest. That's kind of why I was wondering.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's kind of an unfortunate accident. And, you know, it's just a name that was kind of started as a joke almost and then stuck around. So, but I like museums, so that part is appropriate.
It's actually kind of a neat name because it does sort of conjure up some interesting images. Question for you guys, if you were up singing a karaoke song on stage, not your own, what would be your favorite song to belt out?
Oh, man. We've never done karaoke.
Never done karaoke?
I've never done karaoke either.
But if I had to do a song, I mean, probably like a Beatles song or something, or Bob Dylan.
Is that the kind of music you listened to when you were younger?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely in high school. That was in junior high, really. It was kind of like that musical awakening of like hearing the White Album and then like getting Bob Dylan's greatest hits and being like, oh my gosh, music can be like this. Like this, I mean, that was when I think it really was, you know, switched, you know, the light got switched on.
How about for you? What's some music that you used to listen to when you were young or favorite songs?
Yeah, for me, Gillian Welch is my hero. And I was just reminiscing the last time I was at a Planet Bluegrass event was 16 years ago. I drove with a college friend after my freshman year. We road tripped out to Telluride and volunteered. And I remember seeing Nickel Creek and Sam Bush and Bela Fleck. So that's sort of the music that I grew up with and that I played with my brothers. And that feels important to me.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for your guys' time. Great luck on stage, and it's going to be wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
following his path. Do you ever wonder why he's driving? Or is that a question you're afraid to ask? I am that young man.
Been listening to an interview with David Wax Museum. KVNF's Christy Gubser spoke with David and Suze of the band at this year's Rocky Mountain Folks Festival. If you missed any portion of that interview, you can listen to it online at kvnf.org. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered coming up next.